Lovely to see you all.
All right, let me start with the question. Nice, easy question to start with. This is for everyone as well. How much sense does your life make to those around you? I'll ask again. How much sense does your life make to those around you? Have a little chew on that. It's not a multiple choice. It's definitely more of a reflective question. Okay, and whilst you think about that question, let me tell you about my washing machine. So many of you know my wife, Alice. This happened a little while back. Alice announced to me one day, she said, "Today's the day. Big moment in the Meads household. Today was the time for the drum clean." Oh. Wow. Got some real affirmation in the room there. Drum clean, yes. I'll be honest, she told me. I was like, I don't know what that is. Apparently, from time to time, if you use your washing machine a lot, we do, because we've got two boys, you have to basically wash the inside of your washing machine. I was upstairs, Alice was downstairs doing this drum clean. I heard a voice from downstairs, which was, "Matt, did you come downstairs? Maybe bring some towels? Quickly." I was like, oh, crikey, what's happened? So I arrived downstairs into the utility room to quite the scene. Our washing machine seemed to have turned into a bubble machine. It was like a student nightclub from the noughties. Foam everywhere. I just say, I know that. Just people told me that, not that I ever experienced it. So there were bubbles oozing out of the washing machine from every angle, every direction. So Alice and I went into mop-up operation, towels on the floor, at which point Alice said to me, "Oh, maybe I used too much detergent." I was like, "I think, yes, maybe you did." I tell you this because what was inside of it, inside of the washing machine, had to come out. It could not be contained. It was quite literally overflowing. And what was happening on the inside could not help but impact things on the outside. So in this instance, the impact was a very wet floor. And today we're talking about being kingdom carriers. Kingdom carriers. And I tell you about my washing machine. And next time you look at your washing machine, you might think of this. Because when we talk about being kingdom carriers, what we're talking about is the idea that God is doing something in us. He's doing something in us. And then he does something through us. So what happens inside of us happens, then something happens through us. Because it's the idea that he has put something inside of us to bring, something to carry to the world we find ourselves in. Our lives with God overflow out of us. So what is this kingdom that we're carrying? What is it that is in us and then overflowing out of us? Well, in biblical parlance, this is the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's phrased as the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. For today's purposes of today, we just call it the kingdom. But it's all interchangeable. And Jesus was really clear about the kingdom. Seek it. Seek it. He says it, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus' words, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So seek the kingdom. And some of us are very familiar with the vineyard theology around the kingdom. Others of us are earlier on that journey, or some of us are hearing about it for the first time this morning. Kingdom theology is an integral part of who we are. Here in the Vineyard, we are a kingdom people. We talk about the kingdom a lot. Here in Cardiff, in this particular church, across all our sites and ministries, the kingdom is one of our core visionary values. Now, in the last month or two, we've been in this series, foundation series, looking at our visionary values. These are our hallmarks, our distinctives. This is our DNA as a church. And this morning, we're talking about kingdom carriers as part of that series. We carry the kingdom. We are a kingdom people. We are a kingdom people. And the kingdom is wonderful. The kingdom is incredible. What is the kingdom? Put in real simple terms, the kingdom is the rule and reign of God. It's an upside down kingdom. We carry something that won't make much sense to the rest of the world. So at the start, before I started rabbiting on about my washing machine, I said to you, how much sense does your life make to those around you? I ask that because when we carry the kingdom, this upside down kingdom, our lives won't make much sense to those around us. They shouldn't make much sense. But as we carry a kingdom that is opposite to the way our world looks, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Do not let the sun set on your anger. Blessed are the poor. Treasures on earth will rust and fade. Turn the other cheek. I could go on. The things of the kingdom, they're not just countercultural. It's a totally different world. The kingdom is a totally different reality. Because the kingdom is a place of perfect peace, perfect justice. In the kingdom, there is total healing. There's no pain. There's zero suffering. It's a place of salvation, a place of restoration. It's a place of freedom. The kingdom is what awaits us in heaven for all eternity. It is exactly how everything should be. It's what we think of, isn't it, when we think of heaven. And the kingdom is heaven, but it is heaven now. If it helps, think of it this way. The kingdom is the future now. Kingdom is the future now. Because there are things of heaven that are to be glimpsed and grasped today. Not in all its fullness, not completely, not yet, but we see it and we experience it when something of heaven touches earth, when the things on earth are as they are in heaven. It's when we see signs and wonders, it's when we see people say yes to Jesus, it's when we see strongholds come down. That is the future now. The kingdom is the future now. Now, I said a minute ago that we're a Vineyard church, we're a kingdom people here in the Vineyard. And there's a guy, John Wimber, many of you would have heard of John Wimber. He's the guy that kind of started the movement of Vineyard churches in the late 70s and the early 80s. And he was a guy who was absolutely adamant that we, as the followers of Jesus, we get to do the stuff of the kingdom. Do the stuff. That's what he used to talk about. We get to do the stuff of the kingdom. And the story goes that Wimber, he was a professional musician. And he was very much living a rock and roll lifestyle and all that entails. And then he had this radical conversion and became a follower of Jesus. So he started to read his Bible. He started to go to church. And then he got very confused very quickly. And he had this conversation with a church leader at the end of a service. And the conversation went like this. Wimber said to the guy, "But when do we get to do the stuff? When do we get to do the stuff?" And the church leader was confused. And he was like, "What stuff?" And Wimber persevered. He said, "You know, the stuff they do in the Bible. Casting out demons, healing the sick, multiplying the loaves and the fishes, feeding the hungry. When do we get to do the stuff?" And the church leader shook his head and replied, "Oh, we don't do that. We believe in it, we pray about it, but we don't do it." And Wimber was crestfallen. He was utterly disappointed. He said, "I don't think you understand. I gave up drugs for this." And then he goes on, "I gave up drugs for this. I gave up my career for this. You mean I don't get to do it?" And this is the bit that always gets me. "When I worked," he said, "when I worked for the devil, I got to do the devil's work. If I'm working for Jesus, I want to do what Jesus did." How powerful is that? If I am working for Jesus, I want to do what Jesus did. And in that, we get the essence of being a kingdom carrier. Because to live like Jesus is to carry the kingdom. And to carry the kingdom is to live like Jesus. And to live like Jesus is our discipleship heartbeat as a church. Something we talk about a lot. We get to live like Jesus. We get to embrace the same lifestyle of him. And Jesus carried the kingdom. We see it throughout the Gospels. So if we dive into a couple of the Gospels, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The kingdom of God is near. Jumping into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 17. Similarly, Jesus said, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Verse 23, same chapter. "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. So from the commencement of his ministry, Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom, and he's doing the stuff of the kingdom. What's happening? Well, people are getting healed. Demons are being cast off. The blind are receiving their sight. And the kingdom is the central message of Jesus' ministry. That's right. Exciting. Jesus announced it, and then he demonstrated it. And then he announced it, and then he demonstrated it. And so on and so on. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? Well, what it means is that we have a mandate for this that comes directly from Jesus. Because we are part of this ongoing continuum of kingdom carriers that originated from his ministry. I have a diagram. Do I have a diagram? We don't often have diagrams in Vineyard, so let's just take a moment. Let me just talk you through this diagram. This is this continuum I'm talking about, because when we talk about being kingdom carriers, we are standing on the shoulders of giants. We stand in this amazingly rich tradition. Now, this has looked different across the centuries, but the common thread has never changed. It's the signs and the wonders. It's the work of the divine that wasn't something that Jesus just kept for himself. Far from it. If you look at Jesus, he spent his entire ministry mentoring, training, and releasing others to go and do what he did. He starts with 12 disciples. We see this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. He sends them out. He sends them out in his authority. In his authority, with his authority. He says, go and do the stuff of the kingdom. Guess what happens? It works. For example, Mark chapter 6, verse 13. They, as in the disciples, they, the 12, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So that's the 12. You can also read about that in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 10, we see the next stage. After the 12, Jesus then commissions 72 others to go. What does he say to them? He says exactly the same. Go and do the work of the kingdom. It's this over to you moment. It's this tag, you're in. Give it a go moment. What happens with the 72 is exactly the same as what happens with the 12. The kingdom comes in power. In the midst of it, Jesus again tells them, Luke chapter 10, verse 11, yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. So we've got Jesus, then we've got the 12, the 72. Then after Jesus' death and resurrection, we then have the day of Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit, as promised by Jesus, is poured out. About 3,000 people come to faith. Holy Spirit is poured out in this beautiful and profound way. And the early church is born. What happens in the early church? An explosive, unstoppable narrative of signs and wonders. The first believers carry the kingdom near and far, to Jew and to Gentile, to all the nations. The book of Acts, as an example, is just full of these stories. This is the story of kingdom carriers, and this story continues to this day, because their story is our story. As I prepared this talk, it then really got me thinking, well, if that's what a kingdom carrier is, and if we actually do stand in this tradition, and we have this mandate, well, then what does it actually look like for us to be a community of kingdom carriers? What does that actually look like? This is a good phrase about the kingdom. A guy called George Eldon Ladd, such a good name. Makes my name feel very boring. He said this: we live in the presence of the future. When he's talking about the kingdom, he said, we live in the presence of the future. So what does it mean to be a people, a church, that live in the presence of the future? Because in these moments, I guess, and we talk about this regularly. If you've been part of the church for any length of time, you'll know we talk about the kingdom a lot. We talk about being kingdom carriers. But it's very easy in these moments to pay these things lip service, isn't it? These are nice values, they're helpful phrases, slogans, if you like. But if we're truly going to step into this and be kingdom carriers, if the Lord is calling us to this, then we're going to notice, and people around us are going to notice as well. So I have three thoughts on what I think it really looks like for us to be a community of kingdom carriers. The first is this. We will be a people who are empowered. A people who are empowered. Jesus said this just before the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So it's just ahead of the gift of the Holy Spirit that was promised. You will receive power. This means that we are empowered messengers. And the message that we have has power. If you increasingly want to live a life of a kingdom carrier, the best thing you can do is spend more time in the presence of God. More time with him. Know his heart for you and for this world. Rest in his presence and receive his power. Catch a glimpse of the restoration and the healing the Lord desires for you and for those around you. And then surrender your life to be a vessel of it. We are transformed for no reason. There's just no point to it. That's not right. Why are we transformed? We're transformed to bring transformation. This isn't about navel gazing. This isn't about, Lord, change me, help me, sort me. There's healing and there's restoration. But ultimately, we are transformed to bring transformation. To be a kingdom carrier is a life where we embrace that inner transformation to bring transformation. I heard a great story from Grow Baby recently. Some of you, I think, have already heard this, but like, it's worth sharing. So if you don't know what Grow Baby is one of our Restore Compassion projects. The heart of Grow Baby is that no child under 5 goes without. And a big part of Grow Baby is like practical provision for potentially like vulnerable families, single parents. But also right at the heart of Grow Baby is relationship, family, community, so people feel loved and embraced and part of something. And we run 2 stay and plays every week, as well as all the other component parts of the project. We run a stay and play in Roath and we run one in Fairwater. At the Fairwater stay and play, the story was of a child that was coming, a 6-month-old baby coming with their mum. And the mum was chatting, who not Christian, the mum was chatting to a member of the team, and the mum's saying, actually, I'm increasingly concerned about my child's sight. And basically, they were like, the sight, we think there's an issue with the sight, with the child's sight. So they went and got it assessed, and actually, it turns out there was an issue. The child, after the assessment at the 6 months, was either partially sighted or fully blind. So partially sighted, only seeing light, perhaps at best seeing shapes, maybe totally blind. And the member of the Grow Baby team was like, so sorry to hear that. That's really hard. Do you mind if I pray? Can I pray for your child? Would that be okay? Do you mind if I lay on hands and pray for healing? And the mum's like, yeah, why not? So they pray, member of the team prays. A little while later, there's a follow-up appointment for the child. Vision has to be reassessed. Great news. Vision is now restored to 80%. Not only is the vision restored to 80%, but the doctors are now very confident that the sight will be either fully restored or pretty much fully restored. Verifiable healing in our midst. Why? Because someone in our team was like, can I pray? There's 2 things I love about that story. One is I love the simplicity of it. Just 2 mums chatting. And there was that moment where it could have been like, I'm really sorry to hear that's really hard. Or I'm so sorry to hear that's really hard. Can I pray? Something changed on the basis of one extra part of the sentence. The other thing I love about the story, just for me personally, is I remember as I prepped this talk, I remember reading the Gospels and all the stuff that Jesus did and his disciples did. And for some reason, whenever I kept reading, and the blind will receive their sight, I was like, yeah, but Lord, you don't do that anymore. I kept having this thing about, that doesn't happen anymore because we have glasses. Is that what's changed? And literally, I was at the Grow Baby team evening. 24 hours after I'd written this, I hear that story. That's the Lord's sense of humor, isn't it? Yeah, he still does it. So we are a people that are empowered. We rest in his presence and we bring that power then flows out of us in those moments of prayer, intercession. So firstly, we are a people that are empowered. Secondly, we are a people that are obedient. We are a people that are obedient. And there's a phrase I've often heard over the years. And when I hear it, I know in my soul it's the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. And when I hear this phrase, it speaks of someone who has caught a kingdom vision, a sense of purpose, a sense of God's calling that they have to like, that they have to follow. And it's when you hear someone say this, I can't not. Now, if there's anyone in the room who is troubled by a double negative, I apologize. Grammatically, I'm quite pedantic myself, so I'm troubled by this, but it's a good phrase. I can't not. Those moments where someone's just like, got to do it. I think of a young lady who's in our central evening site, and in the last couple of months, she's ended up leading this, organizing this project, basically this big walk against the campaign against modern-day slavery. And literally 2 or 3 months ago, she didn't even know anything about it. She heard about it, the Lord spoke to her, and she ended up organising this massive event. She said to me, she was like, I don't even know how I'm part of it, let alone leading it. I think of my friend, used to be in our church, in a different church now, but he and a team of others at the moment are setting up a classical Christian school. Because they work in education, they just have this absolute compulsion to be like, we want to do something different. Right here in Cardiff. I think of Ben, many of you know, who is one of our evening service site pastor at Central, who in the last few months has set up Vineyard Football Club. Just couldn't not do it. He had such a vision and sense of calling for it. He was like, yeah, we've got to go and do this. We've got to go and be witnesses on the football pitch and bring many, many new people into the church through football. It's incredible. I think of, where's Stu Fisher? Stu Fisher in the room is the outside. He's just at the back loitering. I remember not that long ago, me and Stu were having coffee in coffee number one. Other coffee shops are available. And Stu and Nick and the family, I know we're kind of migrating north. I think that's the technical phrase. And it was like, and I remember saying to him, like, well, if you're coming north, great, but make sure you do that street cafe thing that you've been part of in Central. And Stu was like, well, I can't not do that. I can't not do that. Hold on, how many double negatives in it? I love it. Now I come here to the north, street cafe is happening. Why? Because it's not, well, I've got to do it. There are so many stories in the church of I can't nots. Has to be done. And I think I share this with you because it's really easy. And I know I do this myself. It's really easy to disqualify oneself from being a kingdom carrier. Whether it's subconscious or not, what we tell ourselves is that doing the stuff of the kingdom is something for someone else. That's for others, oh, it's not for me. But let me tell you, there isn't a type. There isn't a type. This isn't for some people. This isn't for the special ones or the wacky ones or the experienced ones or the anointed ones or the certain personality type ones. No, we are a priesthood of believers. So we all have been entrusted with this mandate and we've all been entrusted with this authority to live like Jesus, to carry the kingdom of God into each and every environment we find ourselves in. And what distinguishes a kingdom carrier isn't a particular gifting, skill set, experience, personality type. It's not that at all. What distinguishes a kingdom carrier is a mindset that says yes to the things of the Lord and has that willingness to be obedient in what the Lord is calling us to. So let's be a people that are obedient. And then lastly, let's be a people who try. So let's be a people who are empowered. Let's be a people who are obedient. And let's be a people who try. There's a good chance if you've been around church or Christian circles for any length of time, you would have heard the phrase, if you want to walk on water, at some point you've got to get out of the boat. And when we hear that phrase, often that's not what we want to hear. Because the reality is, like, to be a church of kingdom carriers, we're going to be a people who are going to take some risks and try things. We are going to be a people who metaphorically get out of that boat. Now, some of us are familiar with a church over in Hawaii, led by a pastor called Jordan Tseng. Over the years, it's been a church that we've had some kind of resources from and connected with. Now, this would be a church over there that would be characterized in a similar way to us as being a people who want to carry the kingdom of God into each and every environment they find themselves in. And like I say, the lead pastor is a guy called Jordan Tseng, and he's got a phrase which I find incredibly helpful. He calls this culture that they've got there a life of try. A life of try. And we are to be a people who try. So another story. It's about football again, so I only have one topic. Wednesday night football. There's actually quite a few people in the room who comes to Wednesday night football. Wednesday night football used to be known as pedestrian football. And I used to embody that. Wednesday night football in recent times has got a lot faster, which is quite annoying for me. But it's a lot of fun. Now, about 6-8 weeks ago, blessing, there was a chap who came along, who comes along regularly, and literally within 30 seconds, maybe a minute, we've started, and he's pulled his calf muscle. If anyone's ever done that, that's a very painful thing to do. It feels like a bullet goes into the back of your leg. His evening is over. Like, he's done. He limps off. That's sad. And do you know what I should say is, the guy that pulled his calf muscle, not a Christian, been coming probably 2 or 3 years, very much knows, like, church football, vineyard football, not a Christian. And as he's limping off to the gate to limp back to his car, I see an incredible thing. One of my friends, he's playing in goal right over the other side of the pitch. This guy is a Christian. And in this moment, he runs from goal over, all the way over, and I can see him chatting to the guy who's hurt his leg. And then I can see there's a moment of prayer. He's obviously offers to pray for him for healing. And then 30 seconds later, he then jogs back to the goal, and the other guy limps off. Now, I'd love to say there was this moment of miraculous healing. I'd love to say, guy with the bad calf, miraculously healed, sprinted back on, scored a hat-trick, had the best night of his life. Didn't happen. Limps back to his car. In fact, I think 6-8 weeks later, still hasn't been back to football. Still injured. So it wasn't even one of those ones where it's like, oh, 3 days later, we had this amazing message on the WhatsApp group and his leg was amazingly healed and what a great story. It didn't happen. I'm also guessing that in that moment, for the guy who, my friend who jogged over from playing in goal, when he went to offer to pray for him and Anne actually prayed for him, was it comfortable? I doubt it. Was it awkward? It probably was really awkward. Did anything happen? No. But he did it. And what would it have taken for that guy's leg to be healed in that moment? Well, what it would have taken is for someone to jog over the length of the pitch and offer to pray. He tried. And to be a community of kingdom carriers, it's not about success or failure. It's not about success or failure. The only failure is not trying. If we are to be a church of kingdom carriers, then we just need to comprehensively dismiss this notion of success and failure. It's not about success or failure. It's about building this culture where we celebrate each other, we champion each other, we encourage each other, and we celebrate when we step out in faith, regardless of the outcome.